Welcome to the Trill NBA Show. I'm your host, Felicia Ann Rose Anuha, aka the Trillest NBA you will ever know. And I'm here to help you survive and thrive in corporate America by giving you the truth and being as real as I can only be. Yeah, about that. So today I have my B-School bestie on the show. She's been on the show every season. Tiffany, welcome to the show.
Hey.
Yeah, guys. So this is me trying to bring you something uplifting. And I don't know about you, but I could care less about my career right now.
Girl.
I was telling Tiffany on the phone last night. I was like, yeah, I'm supposed to be working on this podcast, but I mean, do you really care right now? I'm talking from their perspective. Like, if I'm listening to a podcast, how much do I really care as a Black woman in corporate America? How much do I really care about my career right now? Like, right now. Like, how much am I thinking, ooh, what can I do during coronavirus to get ahead in my career? Like, nigga, I'm just trying to live right now. I'm trying to make sure I'm not in that number, in that countdown on CNN.
I don't want to be in that number either. I think it depends on where you're at, though, with your job. Because like me, I'm still within my first 90 days of my job, which I remain nameless, but I love it, by the way, for once. Thank God. So I think for those of us who are like newer, there might be a little more focus on career, if you will. But if I had been at a place for a while and I already kind of knew how that operation went, I don't know how career stress that'd be right now. I think it would just be straight survival mode.
Yeah. I went live a couple days ago just to try to, you know, be a value of service during this time.
And, doing God's work?
You know, I don't know if it's quite God's work. I hope it is.
It is. Let them use you, daughter. Let them use you.
I hope it is. I'm just a human with mental health issues, just trying to figure out how to make it. Like, just trying to stay sane in an insane world. I have stopped watching the news over the past 2 days. I probably should have stopped watching the news a while ago, but it was like watching a train wreck and I just couldn't watch. I couldn't look away. Like, I kept looking at this buffoon on my TV. And so now I'm watching the Hallmark Channel.
Oh, okay. That's uplifting, right?
Well, so here's the problem, because then I go back to my pre-COVID bad thinking of, why can't I get a flat tire and the prince come and help me change the flat tire? But I don't know, he's a prince. And then he helps me at my parents' store. And then I found out he's a prince and he's fallen in love with me. Oh, by the way, this is after my boyfriend just broke up with me. I meet him on the same day. Like, why can't that be my life?
Well, you got AAA, right? Or roadside assistance. You'll be all right. It's okay. Damn. Doesn't have to be Prince Charming. Just as long as somebody comes, fix your tire, right? No?
I hate you.
You don't. You love me. You just said I was your peaceful bestie. Like, you love me. Don't do that.
No, I love you very much. So I was watching this cheesy Hallmark movie right before it was time for us to chat for the podcast. And I was just like, well, ain't this some shit? I don't have that. And I'm tired of the Rona. And it's Saturday, so I'm not supposed to work. So I made a rule for myself that at least one day out of the week, I would not think about work. So that's pretty easy because right now I could care less.
That brings up a good question, though. Like, what would you suggest people do to keep their boundaries up right now? Because we all, you know, basically are stuck in the house if you're obeying the orders. I know right. there's some rebels out there that are trying to kill us.
Right.
I guess they're God's children too. But mm-hmm. anywho, like, how do you keep good boundaries when you're working from home and everybody knows that you're at home and that you can't go anywhere? How do you do that effectively, especially if you're newer to an organization?
If you just can't help yourself, turn off your goddamn devices. Like, it's that simple. If you just have to check that email, just then put the computer, the phones, put them away. Just mm-hmm. put them away. But for me, it's real easy. Once I shut that laptop, like click, click, close it, I'm good. It's only when the laptop is open that I have a problem and I have issues.
Yeah. But
I think what's funny. So a couple of us, Tiffany and I, and some of our other girlfriends, we had a virtual happy hour. You know, those are all the rage in our COVID
all
world.
The rage.
All the rage. And so one of our friends is like, my boss keeps asking, or my boss's boss, somebody high up, keeps asking to turn on video. And me and my other coworker, we just ignore her. And I think she got the hint. And I was like, good for you. Because, like, fuck that shit. Like, if you don't want to turn your goddamn video on, don't turn that shit on. We do not owe you presentability in your goddamn house. Like, this is my house. And the other thing, another one of our girlfriends brought up is, like, I feel like people are able to see my house because you can see my background. And, like, not everybody's on Zoom. So, mm-hmm. you know, Zoom has those funny backgrounds you can put up, which is pretty clutch, right? But, like, some people value their privacy at different levels. And some people don't want you seeing all of their goddamn house. So don't cut the video on if you don't feel comfortable. And I know on the live, I gave a caveat. I was like, if you're new and you're trying to play the game and you're trying to network and, you know, because some people are starting gigs virtually. Like, they got new jobs yeah. and then this shit happened. And so the company's like, okay, we'll ship you your laptop, girl. And you're like, well, okay. And then your boss wants to see you and all this other shit. And you got to listen to your gut on it. But if you're really uncomfortable about that, then don't turn your video on. And they'll just have to meet you, you know, when you're back in the office, if you're ever back in the office. Because shit, we don't know what this shit is. I mean, who knows?
I think that's a good boundary with video because it is all the rage right now. I go on video more often than not because, like I said, I'm new. I'm still within my first 90 days. But my middle ground is sometimes if I don't feel like doing it, I don't.
Right.
And we have like 50, 11 million people on these calls anyway. So no one's going to miss little old me not having video on. But if I have to talk, typically I'll go ahead and turn it on. But they don't get to see any of my apartment. Like, my little setup, I work from my island in the kitchen, and all they get for background is a gray bathroom door. That's it. So they just don't have to live with that. And if I'm feeling particularly fancy, I might put on some earrings. Might.
I think that's the thing. Is earrings the thing that makes a woman feel good? I don't know what that is, but I keep seeing on the internet that everybody's talking about, hey, I wore earrings. I was like, okay, girl. Good for you, girl. This is what it's come down to.
I guess it's by a tip. That just like when I put on earrings, at least I can feel like I'm trying. I don't know. And that's a good point. What is the psychology behind it? Because girl. Like from the waist up, I look pretty presentable most days. But from the waist down, I'll be wearing pajama shorts, sweatpants. So I'm looking a hot mess.
Pajama shorts. That booty be out. That booty be out.
I mean, you know, just a little bit, just a smidge.
All right,
not for anybody to enjoy, because yeah,
Corona. Who's coming out? Who are you letting in? I'm not letting anybody in here.
Nobody.
There are.
I don't even want to go get my mail. Like, listen, I probably have all this mail in the box. I don't even want to do that.
Listen, I have a $450 check sitting in my mailbox right now from an insurance claim from some damage in my house in Texas. And I know what it is. Like, the lady emailed me and said, hey, can you sign these papers, send them back, we'll mail you this check. Great. And so I had this check sitting in my mailbox, and I was just like, yeah, so I'm gonna let that sit there.
Okay, so that might be where me and you are a little bit different, because I do like a good coin or two.
Listen.
I would just have to suit up. Like, I would figure it out. I would put on a couple of bandanas, because, you know, you can't get no mask. I probably wouldn't be able to breathe, though. There's that part. I would figure it out, though. I get my check.
She had her hands on that check. I don't know where that woman be.
Well, hopefully... See, I'd be more concerned about the mail carrier's hands, because they would have touched it more recently.
Right, all of
them. Just take their Lysol with you.
The whole chain. The whole chain. The whole thing. And then people in the mailroom, and they be touching stuff.
Nah, that's why you gotta take your Lysol with you, or your wipes, or something.
I'm good.
You know, I don't know.
I gotta save that stuff for when I go to the grocery store. I only got one can of Lysol, and like two canisters of Lysol wipes. Nigga, I'm rationing this shit. Because you can't really buy no more. So
you got some paper towels?
I did get to get some paper towels. And I already had toilet paper I had bought at Costco like in January that had never been opened. Like I typically try to, like, if I only have like two packages of toilet paper left, then I'll go and get the big thing again. So it just so it was like perfect timing at that time. So we're good on toilet paper. Like, we just opened that toilet paper. So we should be good on toilet paper for at least a month or so. I hope. I'm going to look at this nigga and be like, look here, don't be using up this toilet paper. Oh, speaking. So y'all know, I ain't got no Corona bag. This is my little cousin. He was on the show before.
He actually
goes to a school in the city I live in, and he's a senior, and he got kicked out because of Rona. So he's finishing up here. He couldn't go home. It's just a lot. Like, so I can't be naked like I want to because this little nigga here.
I can't.
I'm just like, you know, which is, I'm happy though. I'm happy he's here. He's a good kid. He washes all the dishes. He cleans the kitchen. So,
yeah,
because I've been cooking a little more because he's been washing dishes. I'm like, this is great. And then he don't really like to eat my food on top of that. I was like, oh, you don't want to eat my food? This is amazing. So you not only are going to wash the dishes I dirty up, you're going to wash the dishes you dirty up. And then I get to cook what I want to eat. And then you're not going to eat up my food. That's a
you
good
sound
deal.
Like a better roommate than I would be, because I would eat your food.
I think you would eat my food and then you wouldn't wash my dishes.
That's not true. I've been to your house. I think I've washed a dish or two. You're not going to put me on blast.
No, I just, not like he does. Like, he doesn't eat my food. He eats his own food, but then he still washes my dishes, even though he didn't get anything out of what I cooked to dirty up those particular dishes. Whereas I feel
I didn't say I was a saint.
I feel like if you didn't eat, you wouldn't wash the dishes on principle.
I mean... that might be pretty accurate. Dude, I need to wash my own dishes. Like, I got a dish full or a sink full in there now that needs to go in the dishwasher. I need to cook something. I need to do some form of adulting today. Like,
why though?
So I don't feel like I'm failing at life during the Rona.
Listen, failure is getting the Rona and then... I don't know if dying is failure, because I feel like dying is like out of your control. Like, you can't control dying, but you can really try really hard not to get the Rona. Now, that is in your control. So failure is
your control to try. But like, I really do believe some people who got it were trying to do the right thing.
That's fair. So maybe even failure isn't. What's failure? What is failure? Let's talk about it, because a lot of times, you know, we're type A, or I'm pseudo type A. I'm not real type A. I'm principled. So that's the difference. I realize that. So I'm not type A, right? So I live in a world of type A motherfuckers, but I'm not type A. I'm principled. And so I have this thing that things should be fair and done right, and there should be justice or whatever. So that's what keeps me swimming with the type A people. But I feel like type A people, they be on some other bullshit. Like, I don't understand it, but it's just too much. They're very extra for no fucking reason.
So how do you manage them then?
I do what the fuck I want.
Okay.
No, seriously. What I learned is you got to do what you need to do for yourself. So go back to the video thing, right? Mm-hmm. And like how our friend was like, she said it and I just ignored it. And that's what I would do. I'm not going to fight with you. I'm not going to try to win you over, or I'm not going to convince you that you're being insensitive and unreasonable with this request to make you feel good in a space where I feel like shit. So I'm not going to explain any of that to you. I'm going to manage myself accordingly and make sure that I put my oxygen mask on first and make sure that I make myself comfortable before I try to make you comfortable. And that's it.
I feel that. I think it comes with maturity too. Like, when you've been working for a while and you really start to appreciate this game for what it is and all that it isn't, then I think you can be more yourself and like be more unapologetic about being yourself and what your needs are. Because for sure, I've seen other people put their oxygen mask on first. Like, I have coworkers that have kids, and we could be in the middle of a call. If they need to stop and go fix dinner for their kids, they will. And that's okay. But just because a lot of us are single or live by ourselves doesn't mean that we can't have a set of boundaries too. Maybe I need to stop these calls at 5 o'clock sharp so that I can binge watch Netflix. That's okay.
Will that help your mental peace during this time of angst and anguish?
Well, it depends on what I'm watching. Like that whole Tiger King documentary, that's a lot. There's some other good options on TV to watch. I know a lot of people have been binging on, what is it called? All American. That's interesting. I just started it. I'm like maybe 3 or 4 episodes in.
Is that on Netflix?
Ooh, it's on one of them. It's on either Netflix or Hulu. One of them. One of those streaming platforms.
I ain't got Hulu.
But my show is this Little Fires Everywhere with Kerry Washington and Reese Witherspoon. It's good.
That's on Hulu, though.
It's on Hulu.
Man, I have regular cable. People be judging me about that, but fuck y'all. Y'all don't understand. Like, I would give my mom my password, my cable password. Like, I had cable for many years because my mom. I did go a time without cable. And I was fine. And when I realized, my mom couldn't watch her stuff because she was in a nursing home before she died, then I was just like, okay, well, let me at least get you this. So I would have cable so my mom could log on and watch whatever she wanted to watch on the computer that I bought her too. So if you judge me for still having cable, fuck you. You don't understand grief and you can kiss my ass. And there's that.
Look, I'm not about to judge you because you know I benefit from your cable, so I appreciate you. And you know how I am about telling people how to spend their money. Like, if somebody tries to tell me how to spend my money, that never goes well. So do you, boo.
Girl.
Have your cable.
Because some people be cable shaming. They'll be like, you still have cable? I'm like, do you pay the bill?
Right.
Why do you care?
You still have fill in the blank, whatever you think they spend money on wrong. Like, right. As long as it's your money, you do whatever you want to do.
Do you, boo. Leave me the fuck alone. That's the motto. Speaking of shaming at shit at work that I hate desktop shaming. So you know how you go to a meeting and if you're like me, I'm scatterbrained. I have 11 million things on my desktop and periodically I'll go through and I'll clean up my desktop and put everything in one folder. The equivalent of putting like all your junk under your bed after your mama tell you to clean your room. Yeah, I do that. Because people desktop shame you. So like you're in a meeting, you project your screen, they happen to see your desktop and you have 11 million files on your desktop. And they're like, oh my God. Oh, geez. How do you work like that? As if it's like an actual physical space or some shit that they should be concerned about. Like, get the fuck off my computer. Get the fuck out my life. Like, I hate you people Leave my fucking desktop alone. Ain't nobody asked you about my goddamn desktop. Like, you do you. Did you get the report? Did you get the information? Did you get whatever the fuck you've asked me for? Did you get it? And did you get it done perfectly? Why, yes, you did. Because that's all I ever do. So you can kiss my black ass about this fucking desktop and pay attention to this goddamn PowerPoint that I need to share with you right now so we can align on this stupid shit that you wanted to do in the first place.
Okay, you sound very triggered. Would you like to take this offline and we could talk about it some more, maybe? Just felt very triggering.
Now, mind you, that isn't the previous. That clearly, the current job is cool. It's previous roles, and I just don't understand why people would say things and do things to me, and I didn't bother any of y'all. I never bothered you people. I just tried to do my work, and no, you can't leave me the fuck alone. You gotta fuck with me. If you're gonna fuck with me, promote me. How about that?
That part.
Motherfucker.
Yeah. I don't understand people either. Like, I don't care how you work. As long as when I need something from you, you're there, because I try to be a good coworker and give people stuff that they want or level set expectations if I can't get it done. Like, I really try to be a good little corporate citizen. It's not always been to my benefit, though. But I feel like I'm finally in a place where I think my character and how I work is actually appreciated versus being a liability. So I feel somewhat encouraged by that. I'm going to hang on to that. And I know I will never say anything about anybody's desktop. Not that I would, but, you know, just hearing how that made you feel, like, I would never want to, like, point that out because it's so insignificant. I think people like that just ain't got enough work to do.
You don't have enough work. But usually it's happened when, like, oh, I have to share some on my screen and they see it setting up or whatever. And it's just another thing for somebody to try to make you insecure about. That's what I never understood. Why do you care? And why are you judging me based on my fucking desktop and how many files I have on my desktop and whether or not I can find something? Bitch, it's a search feature right there. You can find every fucking thing. You just search for it. It's that simple. Okay, sorry. Let me bring it back.
Okay, breathe. My other pet peeve, though, since we're on the topic of pet peeves and corporations, is people who want to track your goings and comings. So I'm one of those people that, for the most part, good little corporate citizen I am. I usually am at work before 9 a.m. But there are some times where I might slide in at 10, 11, because I have a life. Like, I have things going on. So I had this little coworker at my last gig who liked to call it out and be like, oh, banker's hours today. Or he would just say little things. Oof. The first time, I let it slide. The second time, I can't even think of what exactly I said, but it was enough to let him know, like, that's not okay, dude. I don't need you clocking me. I'm not clocking you. I'm not calling out the fact that you leave at 4 a.m. every day or 4 p.m. and the rest of us are still here. Like, I don't really care. Do you? I don't know what arrangement you have with your manager or whatever. That has nothing to do with me. But I don't like when people call out your time of either arrival, coming to work or leaving. Like, why would people care?
Right. That kind of shit gets a real quick, oh, so I either do one or two petty bitch ass things. I know, right? I can be petty and bitch ass. Who knew? So one is I get real loud and I'm like, oh yeah, I had to go take care of some personal business for my dead mother. So I've done that. And
oh, dang.
Yeah. Cause see, you want to fuck with me. Cause I'm coming in. I'm here at 10 o'clock. You don't know what I had to do. You don't know my life.
All
you don't get to
life.
Run me. Right. And kiss my black ass. Then the other thing I like to do and be like, oh, so is that the same as you leaving at 3:30 yesterday? Even if they didn't leave at 3:30, they'll be like, oh, I didn't leave. I'm like, I mean, that's what you say. And then I walk off and I say that shit loud and put doubts because most people aren't watching you. And so then they get all flustered and then they look defensive, and which makes them look guilty, even though they might have been there until 5 or 6.
But again, I don't know what type of work these people have, but I've never had the luxury of having a job where I had time to clock other people. Like, I just have it. I'm too busy trying to keep myself in line and get these deliverables done so I can keep these coins coming in, not tracking Susie and Bob, because it's usually them.
Karen. Becky. Woo! Karen and Becky. No.
Karen and Becky. No offense to the Karens and Beckys out there, but, you know, the proverbial Karen and Becky.
That are Hannahs. Because some Karen and Beckys are Hannahs. Like, they have Hannah spirits. But then you have bosses like mine who are just old Black women and reincarnated. I don't know what to call her yet. I'm going to come up with a name for my boss, a nickname for her. Like Harriet. I want to call her Harriet.
She is kind of a thug, though, from what you tell me.
Man, if I had ever met a corporate thug, it would be my new boss. And I love her for it. Of bosses, there's a group called Black on the Job on Facebook. It's got like a ton of people in there. I like the platform, right? Because it's people you can ask questions, and we all supposed to be in, you know, working spaces and then help each other troubleshoot shit. So a couple weeks ago, at the beginning of this quarantine life that I guess hadn't gotten all the way across the country just yet, somebody wrote some shit about, you know, what do y'all do to measure productivity with your team being, you know, working from home or whatever. So, of course, I immediately got in my feelings. I was like, what the fuck? Like, are you fucking kidding me? You want to be micromanaging, measuring productivity during this life or death situation? Like, bitch, get the fuck out. Like, that's stupid. That was my initial reaction. So what I wrote was like, oh, geez. I wouldn't want to work for some of y'all, because it was people like people managers leaving comments about, I do this, or I have them check in the morning and in the evening, and I have them do this and this, all this micromanaging shit. So I immediately was like, man, I wouldn't want to work for none of y'all motherfuckers. Got me bent. Let my boss come talking about we got to check in twice a day. I'd be like, don't you have kids to attend to? Don't you need to teach them something since they not in school? Is there a deliverable you need from me? Then that's the only thing you should be checking for. Other than that, get the fuck off my dick. Like, that's literally how I feel. However, I said, self, calm down. Maybe there's a reason that somebody would need to check for productivity. So then I'll start asking questions to these managers that had left, you know, their how they check for productivity. Start asking things like, so why are you this kind of manager? I was still snarky. Okay, I started out snarky. I was like, why are you this type of manager? Like, why do you need to do this? But then I was enlightened. There are some jobs and some positions where you have to report out on productivity, especially during this time, because some managers are trying to keep their teams and keep their departments intact. And I was like, oh. So they're really, what they're doing is trying to show the higher-ups how their teams and people add value so folks can keep their jobs. And I was like, oh, well, why didn't you just say that shit?
Well, see, this is where I hope these people managers that are tracking like that, if they truly have positive intent, that they're communicating that with their people. And that's just a theme in general at work. I feel like people just go, 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 but they don't stop to explain the why. And sometimes I think we could head off a lot of problems if we would just explain, here's why I'm asking you for this, or here's why I'm behaving in this way, or here's why, you know what, I might need a little bit of grace from you this week or this day or in this meeting. We just are so piss poor at communicating as humans, especially as corporate peons. God,
you know what? I just realized, though, here's the problem. When you tell a manager, and if they come from a certain mindset of do as I say, because, you know, our parents teach us that shit. That's the problem. So then a lot of these managers have ego issues, because that's an ego-driven thing. The fact that you think that you don't have time enough to sit there and explain to you why I'm doing what I'm doing, you should just trust me and you should just do what I tell you to do. That's what mamas tell today teenagers. Like, that's this. We're adults here. We're not parent and child relationship. We are coworkers. We are peers. You may be my manager, but fuck, we about the same goddamn age. You're not gonna sit up here and act like you my parent. And you personally don't pay my paycheck. This whole big old organization entity, they pay this paycheck. Your name isn't the name of this company. So don't take that shit to your head if you are managing people or you're a people manager. What you need to do is check yourself and sit down and communicate what you need them to help you with, the information you're needing to get to your boss. And I guarantee you, if you do that, you'll get way more productivity out of them, because they'll now know, oh, she's not an asshole, bitch ass bitch. She just really wants to help us. I see that now. But you can't act like, oh, you should just trust me because I got this position, I got this title, and I have a seniority, and I've been here, and all the other reasons your ego tells you that people should treat you a certain way because you the manager. Bitch, please, get your life, check yourself. And if you felt that and you felt a certain kind of way, it was for you. Glad you're listening.
No, that's real. I've had both. I've had bosses who had no ego, and we're still like best friends to this day. Still keep in touch. I value them. And then have some bosses that, I mean, I don't want them to catch the Rona or anything.
But if they do,
I don't need to see them again.
If they do, if they catch it, you know, it's like Whoopi Goldberg in The Color Purple. Till you do right by me.
I can't with you. Cannot deal with you today. I'm never the type to wish anything bad. I would hate to hear anything bad about bosses that I feel may have mistreated me in the past, or that I had a, touchy relationship with. But at the same time, like, I'm at a place of indifference with them. And we don't need to fraternize. Like, I hope you're good, but best in the past. And that's another thing that I'm really struggling with in this new job, is not allowing the PTSD of other past situations ruin the good thing that I believe I have right now. So that's my personal struggle. If there was anything that I was going to work on during this Rona lockdown, is just really doubling down on gratitude and letting go of some of those wounds and hurts and scars from past lives. And giving this new company, this new culture, these new people the benefit of the doubt, and really capitalizing on the clean slate, so to speak, that I have in the new place.
So I feel like the PTSD comes from fear, right?
Yeah.
Because you've tried so many different ways and so many different times. It's like being in relationships. Working in corporate is like dating. It's so like dating. And you're just like, I'm going to see what this nigga do this time. Let's see if he really different. I mean, he seemed different, but I was tricked the last time by that last nigga, and he was just the same as them other niggas. So, I'm going to see. And then you have a steak attitude, and then that translates bad. And then you just be in the same situation. So here's the thing. I tell people all the time, it's corporate America. Do not put your trust in corporate America. Do not put your trust in man. If you have any type of religious or spiritual or whatever, like, you can read all the books and this theme holds true. You should trust your higher power or whatever you believe in. Or if it's just yourself, trust that. Don't trust the things outside of you. And know that no matter what comes your way, you're going to be just fine. And when you do that, that allows you to let go of the past hurts from managers who have just done you wrong and dirty, and stop looking for the bad, and to just say, you know what? Ain't nothing they can say or do that can truly hurt me. All right, I'm going to put my best foot forward. I'm going to give these people the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to be fine. There's nothing they can really do to hurt me. Now, caveat. This does not mean do not document. Document, 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 document. Why? Because faith without works is dead.
Oh, so you came to preach today. Okay.
These are just the principles. I'm a principled person. And then you're going to be fine. But I feel you on that. You're not alone. Trust. I feel the same way. But I feel like now that I've had my corporate awakening and realized like a couple things. Okay, Felicia, it's okay to play the game. Because I would always feel like a fucking sellout. I'm like, this ain't the type of nigga I am. Like, what the fuck is this? I don't want to play these games with these motherfuckers. And then something clicked and made me realize, you know what, dog? This ain't about you. This is about these coins. And I need you to get focused. I need you to figure out where you can find whatever comfort you need and be as much of yourself as you can be so you don't feel like you're walking on eggshells. But then also, you know, say the things you need, you know, you need to say. And manipulate the human behavior in the way you know you need to in order to survive and get through this and get your coins. That's why I love this book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Like, I know a lot of Black women hate people say, smile, why don't you smile, smile? Girl, I think it's chapter 3 in the book. It says smile. Why? Because a smile is disarming. Now, for me, that's a little easier because I'm a kind of a cheeser. I kind of always have been that fat, happy, fat Black girl kind of thing. That just is me. So that comes naturally to me. But I do have a resting bitch face and I do make faces. You know what? I'm going to continue to make them faces. Why? Because I can't control my fucking face. I don't know when I'm making a face. I can't help it. You said something stupid and my face just reacts. Oh, well. But I also will allow myself to smile. Why? Because it works. So I just smile. I tell myself, hey, just smile. And so I smile. Even if it's like one of them like Nancy Reagan smiles, some half-ass smiles. Yeah, motherfucker, okay. Yeah. And I've gotten a little more sarcastic, I think. But that's okay, because they tend to like that too. So I just kind of fill out my environment and I, you know, when in Rome, do as Romans do. Shit. Listen, run me my check, you know?
Yeah, because it is survival, right?
Yeah.
I mean, until we own a company or we're at the top of a company, you really aren't truly setting culture.
No.
So I've learned, at least for me, in order for me to play the game, I got to be in the best possible culture fit I can be. And that's a hard thing to find. I honestly think in many ways, it literally was God's hand on my life this last time where I kind of fell into a culture that I think is like, okay, like this fits me. Like I see myself and a lot of my coworkers and I'm like, okay, whew, for once I can let my little hair down. I don't feel like the square peg in the round hole. But I think there's a lot to be said for just smiling, for having humanity, and knowing that your coworkers are probably going through some effed up stuff too, because life is effed up for real now, but even before Rona. So I think if we just treated each other like the human beings that we are, it'd be a lot more pleasant to get our coins collectively.
Yeah.
But maybe that's just me being too idealistic.
No, I think what you're saying is fair, but let's be real. You did not fall into this new role, this new company.
I did speak it into existence.
Thank you.
I did do that.
Thank you.
But it was God's hand. You know, some fun, miraculous stuff happened. And you know me because I'm always trying to recruit you to this place. It is so hard to not like try to recruit all your listeners too, because I just really want everybody to work here. I think it's that great. So I'm going to just restrain myself, but I will leave you with this, Felicia. Will you come? Okay, I quit.
I told you okay, no, because I wouldn't feel comfortable. See, in my current role, I can curse. I can curse all day long. Nobody cares. Why? Because everybody else curses like sailors. It's great. So I think I might have actually, too, found a better cultural fit. And a combination of better cultural fit on top of I now know some things that I can pivot with how I show up and the perception I'm creating. And I really have learned the power of managing your narrative and making sure that you're creating the story you want people to say about you instead of letting the organization and their judgments create the story about you. And so going into this new role with that knowledge, that has allowed me to set myself up for success better in this new organization. So I feel pretty good overall. Like, I don't know, but like you say, I have PTSD because then there's this little person in my brain that's like, yeah, you felt good about the last couple of places too. And yeah, you know, that honeymoon phase, that first year and then the second year, you know. So I'm trying to ignore that bitch because she's crazy. And I'm just trying to be happy about where I'm at, what's going on, and, you know, these checks that come regularly. Thank you, Jesus, because I got student loans.
I mean, I think that's what we have to do, especially in this era of Rona. Like, you know, mindfulness was a buzzword maybe a couple years ago that came out. It's like, yeah, whatever. But now I think I finally understand. I finally get it. Like, sometimes you just have to center yourself in the moment, in the present, like right where you're at, because most of your pain is going to exist when you're worried about the future or when you're ruminating about the past. So just live in the moment, be grateful. Like, I'm so grateful that I have a job. Amen. And I'm super non-essential, clearly, because I'm working from home. But hey, they still pay me with my non-essential self. So thank you for that. I'm thankful for great friends that I can still see virtually. I'm thankful that I'm still healthy. I pray I don't have the Rona. And even if I do, my symptoms are obviously very manageable, or I'm asymptomatic because I feel fine. So that's what I'm trying to do, is just focus on the here and now and being grateful. And I'm not going to put my pressure or that pressure on myself to do all this stuff during this Corona period. I mean, yes, there are some things I need to do, but there's that meme that's going around. You've probably seen it where it's like, if you don't start a business, yeah, if you don't do this, you're like, lazy. Da, 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 da. Like, no, I don't receive that. I think just surviving this coronavirus pandemic is more than enough strain on the average human.
Yeah, that's what I say. I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, my half Nigerian, all Capricorn is still trying to figure out how I can get over on some shit during this time. I think about it, but I'm not putting any pressure on myself. If I get stuff done, I get it done. If I don't, I don't. Which is why you didn't get this podcast episode until the middle of the week instead of getting it on Sunday, because I'm stressed the fuck out and am not all the way here. So, like, I'm just trying to make it one day at a time. We had a death in our family. The funeral was today. Couldn't go. Couldn't get to Texas. Trying to live. I mean, I now have anxiety about going to the store. Like, I have a little list I'm building up, and I'm like, I'm waiting till the last, like, we're going to be on our last little food before I go back to that store.
Yeah.
Because this, that's what we doing in the midst of Rona, y'all. Hopefully this was somewhat entertaining and helpful. So if there's anything you guys want me to talk about, or, you know, y'all have some problems, send me listener letters. I think from now until when we are good, I'm just going to be answering listener letters. If you send a letter in and I choose it for the show, you get a free 30-minute coaching call that's worth $40 to help you with your situation. So feel free, ask at trillmba.com. I'm going to try to go live more and talk with more of y'all. If you do go on live and then you hit me up and you tell me within the next day, schedule a call. I'll honor that as well. If you've lost your job and you need job prep, so something I'm really, really good at, and Tiffany can attest to this, I'm really good at helping people prep for interviews. And if you listen to me, most likely you'll get the job if you like do what I tell you to do. So don't be talking about, well, I work with Felicia and I prep with my job and I didn't get the job. Well, did you do what I tell you to do? Because if you don't do everything I tell you to do, I don't know what to say. But if you, especially if you have like those case or presentation interviews where you have to put together some slides and shit, I'm really good yes. at helping you tweak those and get those right, get the story right for your interview. So if you have that coming up and you've been impacted by Corona, so you lost your job because of this pandemic, and then you have an opportunity you need to prepare for, I will help you prepare for free. That's how I'm trying to give back outside of, you know, donations and all the other good stuff. So yeah, Tiffany can attest to me helping with the job interviews.
I can. You helped me with my last two job interview case study preparations, and I really appreciate you. I always tell you that I owe you big time. Can I just say I'm sick of these case studies? Like, companies, Nigga. Please stop. It's too much. But anyway, bring it back.
No, take it there. You. Why?
It's too much.
Why? It's so dumb. If I've been working over 5 years and I do the shit that you want me to do, why the fuck am I putting together slides for you?
Because they want free consulting. That's what that is.
Man.
I don't know what it is, but it is very annoying and very difficult to put together decks for a job I don't know I'm going to get and put together decks for the job that I have,
right,
technically is paying the bills today. Like, right. That's a lot to manage.
It's so Oof. Disrespectful. It's just disrespectful. It's just a hoop for no good reason. And the sad thing is, probably the person that puts together the best PowerPoint slides and stuff is probably not the best person for the job. People who mm-hmm. interview extremely well, a lot of times are not going to be out of the pool that you had. They're not going to be the person who really would have knocked the job out of the park. Not saying that person won't do a good job. They'll do a good job. But the person who's socially awkward, a little more introverted, it feels a little more painful, this kind of stuff. The people who are not extroverts and it's really hard for them to muster the charisma that you're looking for are probably the people that would do the best job. And we reward the extroverts in corporate America. And it's so stupid. It is stupid.
You know, that's triggering me because I'm an introvert all day long. But we get along really well. I'm introverted, you're extroverted. And I do think introverts are still largely misunderstood. I think that we add a ton of value. It just may look different than extroverts. And I quite frankly think you need both. Like, I'm not saying this to hate on extroverts. Like, I love my extroverts. You need both to make things tick. Exactly. But that's a whole other episode yeah. we could talk about.
You know, we do need to do right now. No, we do. I need to do the episode on how to survive corporate America as an introvert. Like, that should just be a
black woman introvert.
Yes.
That.
Well, yes.
Lord.
Yes. Because if I hear somebody get the feedback one more time, you don't speak up enough, or you're not vocal enough, or you're not visible enough. I really hate that because it's like, well, do I have invisible powers? Do I show up and you can't see me? I'm the only black one here. What do you mean I'm not visible? Bitch, I'm here. I am here.
My work is visible.
Right.
My decks that I send to you, that's real visible.
This the ones that you present.
This company is visible.
Right. The decks I do that you then go present is visible. Child. Okay.
We'll save that. We were doing good. Now I'm
triggered. I know. Oh, God. Okay. Well, this is what happens when you're suffering through a global pandemic. You get the triggered episode with Tiffany Samuels. I think that's what I'm going to name this. So listen, guys, we're going to wrap up. I've lost 6 pounds, by the way.
I've gained 6 pounds. Your point?
That wasn't my point. I was proud of myself, I thought.
No, I am proud of you because that's not my testimony over here. That's a whole other thing about just how am I going to be coming out of this? I don't know because I'm still trying to figure out how to best ration my snacks.
So
not
wait.
Going so well.
You know what really, speaking of trigger, what really triggered me was those memes that were saying, so after the Rona, the 600-pound life producer is going to be calling me. I'm going to be a candidate. And I was like, ah, oh, fuck, nah. I said, nah, I can't. Because what y'all don't understand is that I have been 500 pounds in my life. And I struggled all my life since I was 6 years old with my weight. And so I don't want to go back there. And since my mom died, I have gained 100 pounds. I call that grief weight. So I just said, okay, Felicia, what you gonna do is get your life together in at least some kind of way during this COVID and take better care of myself. So I'm taking it from the standpoint of not that I need to be doing some kind of like boot camps every day or some shit like that, or working out with Venus Williams every day on Instagram. But I do go walking, which is kind of scary nowadays, but I do. And when I see people, I run the other way. So that helps me get my cardio up because I'll be running from people outside.
Right. 6 feet at all times.
Listen. And so I just decided, like, I'm going to take this opportunity to focus on eating better. So I've been doing my green smoothies, drinking more water, and walking. And so not too much pressure, not this whole, well, I'm only going to eat 500 calories and blah, blah, blah. But I did buy a scale and I do have a Fitbit. And so I'm just going to, you know, be more conscious and track it. And so my scale came early. So I weighed myself April 1st. And since April 1st, and today is April 4th, I have lost 6 pounds. So I was like, okay. But I also been walking more in the past couple of days too. So I know that's helpful. So yeah, listen, if you come out a candidate of my 600 pound life, I get it. I get it. I don't, no judgment, but I would hope that in the vein of staying healthy, taking care of yourself, not catching this shit, but then also not letting yourself completely go, then just do the things that you can in your power as much as you can. Now, mind you, understand, I also just said I'm about to go eat some ice cream. So there's that. Not perfect, y'all. Not perfect. But I will say this. I did learn a boundary for myself before I let y'all go. This is funny, actually. So I went walking. My hair is not cooperating. And of course, I can't go get it done. And so, you know how you get to the point where you're like, fuck it. I really don't give a fuck. Kiss my ass. And so I really hate exercise too, on top of that. So I was in a mood. So my hair was all over my head. I left out my patio door to go for my walk and I just didn't care. And some guy, I don't know who he was passing by my patio door. And he said something and I just looked at him and I know I made a nasty face. Because I was like, why the fuck are you talking to me, towards me? Get away from me. I'm not trying to die today. And I don't know you. So that's the look he got. I have no idea who this young man is. Stereotypically, he looked like, you know, a thug from like The Wire or some shit. So I don't know. And then I came back from my walk. And then every week we'd be having these happy hour, virtual happy hours with our team for work. Which I like them motherfuckers, so it's cool. But my hair looked worse when I came back from my walk than it did when I left. Because when I left, I had tried to comb it a little bit.
Oh, God.
And so when I came back, it kind of just, you know, I don't know. It would just, if you think of Roots or you think of Don King or one of them troll dolls. Is that the ones that their hair sticks straight up in the air?
I can't.
So I was looking like that. And then I put my video on because, again, I did not give a fuck. And so after I'm walking, when I'm hurting, after I walk, I hurt. My knees hurt. My feet hurt. Like, I hurt. I'm fat. I don't like to exercise. It hurts. And so I come back and I get on the call and I'm just looking all the faces. Like, and I tried to fix my face and I just didn't give a fuck. And so then the next day I had my one-on-one with my boss and she was like, are you okay? And I was like, yes, I'm sorry. Cause literally, I mean, I had a part and then so part of my head, half my head was going one way, like half my head was going east and the other half was going north. And, you know, I really, oh. You know, if it was a map, it would confuse you. It was like when, you know, when your GPS goes haywire in the middle of downtown, that's how my hair looked. And so it just was trying to reroute to somewhere. I have no idea where it was trying to go.
I don't know either. That sounds...
It was bad. I just hope nobody took pictures. But I have a feeling somebody took a picture of me. And
they did.
When it comes out...
You are a whole meme right now.
When it comes out, I'm going to kill them. But yeah,
I just... They are going to make a meme out of you, girl.
Did not care. Did not care. One of my coworkers was on the call. She was like, Felicia, you doing all right? I was like, yeah, girl. Hanging in here.
Oh, gosh. It's where we're at, though. It is so where we're at.
Girl. So the moral of the story is do not work out before any calls that I'm going to be on video. And that's the moral of the story. All right, y'all. We're going to get off here. As always, you can hit me up, ask@trillmba.com. If you have any questions, I'll do my best. I will try to answer, understand. It's crazy times and shit. If you just want to talk about your career to escape what's happening, I understand. We can do that. You can set up calls, trillmba.com/coaching. If you go on there, schedule some time. It is $40. And understand, this money goes to produce this podcast. I have people on payroll, y'all, that help build this podcast, even when we don't get shows out quite. So they're still working and they're still working to get stuff done. And I still have to pay them. Okay. And so that's why we charge for the calls. Other than that, Tiffany, any last parting words, anything the good Lord has on your heart? Anything you clutching your pearls about before we get out of here?
Just do y'all best. That's all I got.
Right?
Whatever that looks like, just do that.
Coronavirus is getting real.
Coronavirus.
Oh my goodness. It is real. It's too much.
This too much. All right, y'all. Stay safe. Wash your hands. And until next time. Which hopefully is next week, but don't listen. Okay? Grace, we out here. Stay as true as you can.
And safe.
And safe. The Trill MBA Show is a Fair World Corp. LLC production. Executive produced by Felicia and Rose Inuha. Sound design and editing by Chris Mann with Podshaper. Theme music is Kick Push by Ryan Little. Keep it trill every day, y'all.